This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't ever, ever, ever again have to ask me why I like working nights. Or wouldn't I like more of a prime time, quote unquote, position here at CBS Sports Radio? Nope. Nope, I would not. And this is another one of those nights that underscores my feelings. All of the good stuff, and in this case, the theatrical and unbelievable stuff, happens at night in sports. And we get to be here together with you to react in the moment and to get the latest reaction from those who were involved. We are going to head to Cleveland coming up in a half hour, and we're going to get all of the on-site reaction as well from a Pittsburgh Steelers insider. He was previously scheduled to be part of our show before the brawl broke out in the final 8 seconds. And I want to hear from you, but I hope you understand first, we're going to hear from Myles Garrett. We're going to hear from Maurkice Pouncey. We're going to hear from Mike Tomlin and Freddie Kitchens and Mason Rudolph and Baker Mayfield. And I might even read you some tweets that I saw from other football players online. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, time to use Google. YouTube has, I don't know how many versions of the brawl that marred the end of what is supposed to be a great rivalry game to kick off week 11 in the NFL. And I really appreciate what Freddie Kitchens had to say. You'll hear his full comments coming up. But I appreciate that he says this ruins what is a massive win for us. We're supposed to be talking about one of the biggest wins. And then he kind of stops and he said, when was the last time the Browns beat the Steelers and the Ravens in the same season? Browns are still below 500, but they just won their first two games in a row all season, potentially turning a corner, potentially. And yet in the final seconds of this game in Cleveland, a brawl breaks out, and we're not talking about a baseball brawl, benches clearing brawl. They're more like benches clearing conversations. No, this one is something the WWE wouldn't even script, because no one is supposed to be hitting someone else over the head with a prop, with a helmet. Those helmets are built to withstand nuclear holocaust, for heaven's sakes. And Myles Garrett used that as his weapon. I know a lot of you have reaction. A lot of you have already found me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Certainly I'd love to see your tweets. But here's the thing. He started it, works in third grade. Not when grown men are hitting other grown men over the head with helmets. Not when grown men are kicking and punching other grown men who are laying on the ground. Each of the athletes that was involved in those final seconds is responsible for his actions. And I also appreciate Pouncey, who's indicated, I will take whatever the NFL hands to me. And he's certainly going to get punished the same, not the same. He's going to get punished like Myles Garrett is. And it sucks for the Browns, right? Because Myles Garrett was having a fantastic season. 10 sacks, 2 forced fumbles. He is the cornerstone of the Browns defense and a major reason why they beat the Steelers. He's a wrecking ball, but he completely lost it. Absolutely lost his head and deserves to be suspended the rest of the way. So knowing that the Steelers are now 5-5, they've played 10 games, they've already had their bye. There are 6 games remaining. In my opinion, a 6-game suspension Myles Garrett being out the rest of the way is not too much. It's not too heavy-handed. He's got to get that temper under control. He's already been in trouble with the NFL for hits to quarterbacks that the league deemed inappropriate, unnecessary, excessive. But this is something completely different. So that's, if it's me, it's not. If it's me, Myles Garrett doesn't play again the rest of this season. So the Steelers have played their 10 games. Browns have played their 10 games. They both have six remaining. As for Maurkice Pouncey, he didn't just throw one punch or one kick. He actually said afterwards he lost his mind. He blacked out. He's never been so angry. And I stopped counting at five punches and kicks. He shouldn't be back, in my opinion, in any fewer than three games. I don't care if it was retaliation. I don't care if it was he's going after my guy. I mean, I can understand one punch, but he just lost it. I still can't believe what I just saw. Again, I want to hear from you on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Simple question, what's your reaction? Keeping in mind, if you use inappropriate language, you get blocked. I don't care how frustrated or angry or upset you are, you can express yourself without inappropriate language. Also, our phone number, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They understand it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage, and that's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Let's start at the end of Thursday Night Football, shall we?
So third and 29 with 14 seconds left. Rudolph will dump it off to the left side. Trey Edmonds, the catch, sprints out of bounds. And a fight at the 9-yard line. Flags are thrown. The Browns and the Steelers, and Garrett just threw a punch. And Pittsburgh retaliating. Maurkice Pouncey was kicking in there, and flags are flying with 8 seconds left. The Steelers are running from the sideline to join in. And this one is going to end in ugly fashion.
That's Ian Eagle with the call on the Westwood One radio network. I appreciate the work that he does. They're high up above the field, and there's spotters in their ears, and they're trying to figure out what's happening, and it all enveloped so quickly. It all unfolded, developed so quickly. So Mason Rudolph is tackled by Myles Garrett, sacked by Myles Garrett. Now, remember, it had been a chippy game anyway. These two were rivals. And it was, what, mid-third quarter when Demarius Randall was ejected for a helmet-to-helmet hit on Deontay Johnson. So that was just one of the other incidents that had taken place in this game. These two teams don't like each other. That's fine. You don't need to. I can appreciate and admire a good old-fashioned rivalry. In fact, I think those are my favorite games that I ever watch in sports. So Rudolph gets tackled by Myles Garrett. And Garrett kind of holds him down on the ground. So Rudolph is struggling to get up. And while he's tangled up and Garrett won't let him get up, Mason tries to pull off Myles Garrett's helmet. He's unsuccessful. And at this point, David DeCastro, the offensive lineman, comes in and is trying to get Myles Garrett off of Mason Rudolph. So Garrett then responds as DeCastro is trying to pull him off of his quarterback. Garrett responds by grabbing the face mask. Helmet is still on Mason Rudolph. Grabbing the face mask, jerking it. So he's pulling Mason Rudolph by the face mask. And then eventually pulls the helmet right off his head. At this time, there are a couple of other players around. As I mentioned, David DeCastro's in there trying to stand between these guys, trying to get Garrett off of Mason Rudolph. But Garrett, with the helmet in his hand, loses control, loses his temper, slams it down on the head, and he's going around another player, slams it down on the head of a helmetless Mason Rudolph. I'm thankful that Rudolph didn't get knocked unconscious. Thankful that he appears to be okay, though obviously the Steelers are going to put him through some tests. Remember, he missed time earlier in the season because of concussion protocol. That was the hit by Earl Thomas, if I'm not mistaken. So Pouncey goes ballistic. He starts kicking and punching Myles Garrett, who is down on the ground now. And then Larry Ogunjobi comes flying in and shoves Mason Rudolph from behind. So there were three players ejected, though, again, the game is over now. These are the final few seconds. But three players ejected: Garrett, Pouncey, Ogunjobi. And lots of reaction following the game. So let's hear first from Myles Garrett, because he's the one that everybody wants to hear from. What in the hell just happened?
That is embarrassing. Now, what I did was foolish, and I shouldn't allow myself to slip like that. That's out of character. But situation like that where, you know, it's an emotional game, like Larry said, and allow myself to fall into those emotions, you know, with that last play and what happened.
So he says it was embarrassing. I allowed my emotions to get the best of me. He right away, I mean, this is moments later, is taking responsibility for it. I'm sure the NFL will take that into account, the fact that he's remorseful. 10 sacks. I mean, he's having this incredible season. And not only did he just embarrass himself, but his actions hurt the team. And that's one of the things that Freddie Kitchens got really fired up about in the moments after this brawl.
We don't react like that no matter what. That's not an excuse for anything that Miles did at all. And we're not giving him an excuse. He doesn't want an excuse. So it doesn't matter what happened. I don't even care what happened. We've got 5 seconds to go in the game. That can't happen. We've got 5 seconds to go in a game, the biggest game that this team's won in a – never beat Baltimore and Pittsburgh in the same year since they've been in 1999. And then we've got to talk about this. So there's 52 other guys in that team, on the team, that hurt. And it's going to hurt moving forward. So we don't condone that. And it's not going to – Miles understands what he did wrong, all right? He's got to maintain his composure. Just like he had to do at the start of the year. He had to maintain his composure. We got 5 seconds in the game. I'm sorry, but it's kind of like, you know, he understands.
So Freddie Kitchens is fired up and passionate about the fact that this is marring what is supposed to be a great night, a great victory, and a huge step forward for the Browns. And I would agree with that. I mean, I would be starting the show that way if this didn't happen at the end. Now, does it take away the win? No. But it certainly takes away the best defensive player of the Cleveland Browns. So if they had any hopes, any designs on being part of the playoff conversation, they're now going to have to do it without Myles Garrett for an extended period of time. Certainly, they're far behind the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC North, but as we've talked about, the two wild cards in the AFC are it's a complete crapshoot. They're completely up for grabs. And so the Browns being 4-6, I mean, they're, what, a game and a half back of the Oakland Raiders, who are at 5-4. And the Steelers are now at 5-5, so they're just in front of the Browns. So all of these possibilities over the final third of the season. But as Coach Kitchens notes, all of that becomes unimportant.
He's got to maintain his composure.
We've got to keep our composure!
I wish that I could read lips. I'm not good at that. But somebody will. Freddie Kitchens and Mike Tomlin were standing on the field as, you know, the confusion and the melee is, it's just, it's it's done, but people are all milling around, and the stadium is stunned and everything else. And so they're standing on the field while the officials are trying to sort through all this crap. And the two of them are having a very heated conversation, not at each other, obviously. And Mike Tomlin, you know his eyes, he gets so fired up. And I wish I could understand what he was saying, because he certainly didn't want to repeat any of it afterwards. He was having none of it.
I'll keep my thoughts to myself. You guys saw what happened at the end.
You got no comment about it?
That's exactly what I said. I got no comment.
Have you ever seen anything like that at the end of a game?
No more questions regarding that, because I'm saying nothing.
No more questions regarding that, because I am saying nothing. But he did say plenty to Freddie Kitchens, and so, like I said, I wish that I was able to read lips, or that I was somehow able to be a fly on the, well, there's no wall there, but a fly buzzing around so I could hear what it is that Mike Tomlin is saying. Remember when Antonio Brown was Facebooking live from inside the Steelers locker room? That seems like a long time ago. And Mike Tomlin got caught on audio tape. Gosh, could you imagine? You imagine what he was saying? Okay, so your reaction.
Because I'm saying nothing.
I'm saying a lot, though, Coach Tomlin, so I got you covered. And we'll hear from Baker Mayfield, as well as from Maurkice Pouncey, Mason Rudolph coming up, too. And we're going to get to your calls, 855-212-4227. Also, all of your comments about or comparing what just happened on the football field to what might happen on the street, I mean, that doesn't even make any sense. The two are not correlated. It just, you guys are, you go to great lengths to justify the actions of your favorite athletes or your favorite team. I respect sports fans who, even though they're biased, and that's fine to be biased, you're a sports fan, you're not sitting in my seat, can be like Freddie Kitchens and say, what Myles Garrett just did is inexcusable. And how about this? He's a grown man. I don't give a crap what Mason Rudolph did before that. So Mason Rudolph tried to take his helmet off. Oh, no. Oh, no. Myles Garrett's injured for life. Who cares? Myles Garrett, get up and walk away. I mean, really? Is Myles Garrett afraid of what Mason Rudolph might do to him? The whole he started it thing. It's immature. And I respect sports fans who can be somewhat mature. 855-212-4227, A-Law Radio, Facebook page 2. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Rudolph underneath center on first and 10, turns, gives the ball to Samuels, back it goes to Rudolph, throwing down the field, Denzel Ward tipped it, and it got picked off. Burnett's got it, he's at the 40, he's at the 45, he's at the 50, to the 40, to the 35, he's to the 30, and he's out of bounds at the Pittsburgh 30-yard line.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It should have been a night to celebrate for the Cleveland Browns defense. 4 interceptions off Mason Rudolph. Another big win inside the AFC North. Back-to-back victories for the Browns. The best 2 games of their entire season. And yet, I'm pretty confident the amount of time spent on the win for the Browns will be negligible over the next 24 hours in the world of sports. And I don't just mean the media. Have you seen the reaction of other NFL players, other athletes on social media? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. I asked the guys before the show, what percentage of our show do you think will be spent on the brawl in Cleveland in those final 8 seconds? And Chris put the over-under at 83%. I kind of feel like it's going to be higher.
60% of the time, it works every time.
That makes no sense. Mike Pereira is rules official now with Fox, of course, a former referee in the NFL, and he gives his opinion about how the league might handle what happened at the end of the game.
This is a terrible situation, and I think that we certainly will be looking at suspensions. You know, I think the swinging of the helmet is like crazy. It's absolutely crazy. It's actually in the rule book where it says that you cannot take a player's helmet off and use it as a weapon. But to me, Garrett is going to have a pretty lengthy suspension, and not just because of what he did tonight. I mean, you got to go back and look at this season. He's already been fined twice for hits on the quarterback, and now you take this incident. And so I'm not going to be surprised if we don't see something that could approach 4 games. I don't know how long, you know, that they have gone before for an incident like this, but I think 4 games is probably going to be what they do. It could get reduced because certainly the player can appeal the fine, but I just don't see it. And Pouncey, too, where his kicking and just swinging, I mean, again, this goes beyond pretty much anything that I have seen. What will happen is they got some time. That's the thing, because neither team plays until next the following week. So I wouldn't look for a decision to be made until maybe Monday or early Tuesday. But again, this used to come to me when I was ahead of officiating, and then I would look at it, and then I would refer it upstairs for them to make the final decision.
So Mike Pereira indicating 4 games, which has gotten a fairly strong reaction. Again, in my opinion, I don't think Myles Garrett should play the rest of the way. That does not mean I think everybody else is blameless or innocent. I don't know where you guys get those words from. That's so ridiculous. I absolutely believe Maurkice Pouncey should be suspended as well. And I wouldn't be surprised if Mason Rudolph got fined after David DeCastro tried to move Myles Garrett away. So at this point, Garrett has Mason Rudolph's helmet. So DeCastro's trying to pull him away. Garrett's already got the helmet off of Mason Rudolph. And Rudolph goes and tries to get around David DeCastro. So he wasn't done mixing it up either. And that's when Garrett smashes him on top of the head. But it's a weapon. You can laugh if you want because it's in the context of sport. But if he hits Mason Rudolph in just the right spot on his head, Rudolph could have been knocked unconscious and potentially died. It would have been an accident. But with a helmet, those kinds of things are built to withstand cracking. They're built to withstand any type of impact, including someone else's helmet flying in and making impact. I mean, it's scary to watch. And as much as the football game is supposed to be the marquee event on Thursday night, this is what people are going to be talking about. Maurkice Pouncey knows that he's likely going to hear from the NFL as well.
I said whatever penalty it is.
Can you remember being that angry on a football field?
Nah, I'm blacked out. I don't even remember it really, to be honest with you.
Have you ever seen anyone take your helmet off and try to hit someone with it?
Have you?
I haven't.
And neither have I, bro. I mean, I've never seen anything like that, especially when he obviously doesn't have a helmet on. And it's your quarterback.
So he's saying, I've never seen anything like that before. He admits he blacked out and got so angry that he lost his cool. And he absolutely will be suspended as well. It's a lot for the NFL to sort through. And as Mike Pereira is indicating, it could take a few days. This is what is likely to be the story all the way through the weekend. Week 11 just got turned on its head. All right, we're going to get to Cleveland next, and we're going to talk to someone who is in the locker rooms and get the reaction and kind of check the pulse of both these teams with our Pittsburgh Steelers insider, who was previously scheduled to come on the show. And then once we get through that, we'll start to take your calls. And also, you can find us on our social media as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's going to come back to hurt our team. You know, the guys who jumped in the little scrum, you know, I appreciate, you know, my team having my back, but it just never got to that point. That's on me.
You know, he had some words and kept on keeping on, and one thing led to another. So, but you can watch the tape, go back and check it out, and make your own assumptions.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voices of Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph. You're going to see their faces a lot. You're going to see them in action a lot. You're going to hear a lot of conversation about the end of the Browns and Steelers on national TV on Thursday Night Football. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You're finding us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. We're going to get to your calls, but we want to get the scene from Cleveland itself with now our guest was previously scheduled before this brawl ever broke out. Ray Fittipaldo with us from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette covering the game in Cleveland. And Ray, before I get the reaction from people you talked to, what's your reaction to what you saw at the end of the game?
Listen, Amy, I've covered some very ugly games between the Steelers and Bengals over the last 5 to 7 years when Vontaze Burfict was involved in some very bad incidents for the league. But I've never seen anything like this. Myles Garrett, if he would have struck Mason Rudolph in the wrong place, he could have killed him tonight. So very, very bad situation for the NFL. And I would imagine they will act swiftly tomorrow and come down pretty hard on him.
So after your time in the locker rooms and post-game, what are some of the strong comments, the sentiments that you heard from the locker rooms?
Yeah, I mean, Marquise Pouncey, the Steelers center who jumped to Mason Rudolph's defense and was throwing some haymakers at Garrett and some of the other Browns. He believes that Garrett should be suspended for the remainder of the season. And that was the sentiment of just about every Steelers player in that locker room today. What Pouncey said was, we'll see if the NFL is really serious about its players. So they obviously feel like the NFL has to do something. They didn't feel like Mason Rudolph was protected out there tonight, and that's why Pouncey did what he did. And, you know, Pouncey, to his credit, said he's going to accept whatever penalty comes his way. I'm quite sure a suspension is coming for Pouncey as well, but quite obviously, I think the longer suspension is going to be handed down to Myles Garrett for what happened.
Did Mike Tomlin really have zero comment? Because what I heard is him saying, I'm not going to talk about it, I'm not going to address it. Did he really not say anything at all about what happened?
He did not. He said you can look at the tape and make your own judgments. And, plenty of Steelers players had plenty to say about that. I would imagine the breadth of this is going to fall on Freddie Kitchens to answer for what Myles Garrett did. And, you know, ultimately for Myles Garrett, who, you know, we had a reporter in the Browns locker room, and he said Garrett really wasn't apologetic to the Steelers for what happened. I think he apologized to his own team for putting them in that situation. But, Myles Garrett, I'm not sure who gave him advice, who allowed him to talk tonight, but I don't think he represented himself or the Browns very well.
Well, he did say he was embarrassed and that it was on him and that it shouldn't have gotten that far. So he did take responsibility for it. And Freddie Kitchens said after the fact that Myles Garrett definitely understands that there's no excuse for what he did.
Yeah, he's right. There is no excuse for that. The NFL, maybe they just can't have something like that in their game. We've seen stuff like that happen in other sports. Players have been suspended indefinitely. You think back to what happened with Todd Bertuzzi way back when he was in Vancouver. Kermit Washington way back when in the NBA back in the 1970s. Unfortunately, we've seen this in a professional arena before, and I think, unfortunately for Myles Garrett, he's probably going to be suspended, and, he's going to have to carry this with him for the rest of his career.
Ray Fittipaldo from Cleveland covering Thursday Night Football for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Did anyone say anything at all about the game afterwards?
Honestly, it was a pretty bad football game to that point. I was concentrating on afterwards was, getting some quotes on the site and that's what it was about. And there will be plenty of time to write about the offensive woes for the Steelers and what this means to their playoff positioning. But No. The only thing that I think anyone's going to care about for the next few days is the, you know, unfortunate incident. You know, what's going to, you know, what the what's going to happen from the NFL after this. I think that's, you know, really what everyone wants to know at this point.
Mm. Did you happen to talk to David DeCastro, or did you hear anything that he had to say? Because he was also right in the middle of it.
Yes. David said that, you know, he was a little bit more tame than Pouncey. I think he called it reckless, but he agreed. You know, the NFL has to make a statement on this. And, you know, that's, like I said at the top, that's the one sentiment that came out of that Steelers locker room. They want the NFL to act swiftly on this, and they want a stiff punishment for what happened.
How is Mason Rudolph after getting clocked?
He seemed fine, amazingly. You know, I can't say that I had this point from my view in the press box. I can't tell you if he got hit square, but he did a post-game news conference, and, you know, he had no visible signs of a bad injury. So I would consider him very, very lucky because, you know, like Marquise Pouncey said in the locker room, if Myles Garrett had struck him in the temple, you know, we could be talking about a very, very serious situation. So fortunately for Garrett, that didn't happen, but I don't think the NFL is going to really take that into consideration when they make their ruling on this.
I know it's been a really long evening for you. Wondering, though, one more question, if you don't mind. In the press box, what was the reaction? Because, like, the rest of us are all spread out all over the country. We're not really watching with people. You were with a large group of people. What was the reaction when this happened at the end of the game?
Well, it's kind of funny. Everyone's trying to file their stories on deadline because it's a night game, and we're thinking about getting to the elevator, and all of a sudden, 8 seconds left, and, you know, the fight breaks out, and everyone's trying to figure out, you know, what's happening. I did see Pouncey come to Rudolph's defense, saw him throw some punches, so obviously, you know, he'll be hearing from the NFL, too. But, people were just trying to get to the elevator and get to the post game, but before they could, you know, that happened down there, and it sort of changed the course of what everyone was writing about him, but everyone's going to talk about here for the next 24 to 48 hours, that's for sure.
That is so true. I'm not sure if you already had your game story written, but I suspect that you had to amend, huh, Ray?
That would be a fair statement, yes.
All right, so we're going to let you get to it. You can find Ray on Twitter at RayFit with two T's, RayFit1, and he covers the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. They're in Cleveland tonight, joining us for a couple of minutes. We appreciate your time. Thanks so much, Ray.
All right, thank you,
Amy. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.